All week we've discussed dissociative disorders. We've talked about some of the theories behind it. We've talked about the sort of the etiology. We talked about the different forms and types of dissociative disorders. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the treatment of dissociative disorders.
Right. And the treatments sort of encompass all or most of the treatments that we use typically with most other psychological or mental illnesses.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this will be a nice review of these theories as they apply to dissociative disorders.
Yeah. And what's nice is that, well, I say nice, but what is hopeful is that many times treatment is effective. The prognosis is pretty good as long as you're in treatment. The concern, of course, is that it takes time.
Yeah.
And as we go through some of these different forms of treatment, that is going to be an underlying theme that sometimes treatment is going to be labor-intensive and over a long period of time.
Especially for these disorders.
Right.
These disorders are deeply rooted. Just by way of review, one of the things that, in fact, I often forget, and I'm sure other people do, we talk about the dissociative disorders.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is dissociative identity disorder. But as you Google this stuff, make sure that you're not just looking at dissociative identity disorder,
right,
because there's a larger group of dissociative disorders, and people often forget, because the one that we talk about the most is the identity disorder, because that used to be called multiple personality disorder,
right,
and so the name has changed, but much of the literature was done on that,
right,
and that's fascinating. It's what you see on television and movies is multiple personalities. So, but please remember that the dissociative disorders include more than just the identity disorder.
Right. Right.
The second thing is they're deeply rooted in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's, many people say, well, I think I'm having a dissociative episode. I think I have depersonalization disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Without a history of trauma, it's probably not that.
Right.
Many people have come to me, particularly teenagers, will say, well, I was smoking weed the other night and I had this strange feeling and I felt like it was an out-of-body experience. And I think I looked it up and I think I have depersonalization. No, you probably don't have, it's probably not that. It might be. But without a history of trauma, and in many cases, when we do a history, there is no history of trauma, it's probably not one of the dissociative disorders.
Right.
Okay, so be careful. Because there are many other explanations for these kinds of experiences, and smoking weed would be one of them. It's a mind-altering substance.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual that you might have an experience that would feel like an out-of-body experience, but is probably something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as we talk about some of these therapies, they're not going to be unfamiliar.
No.
We've talked about many of these therapies before.
Right.
So there's nothing new and earth-shattering with any of these treatments. The difference is that there's a couple of differences. One is that, again, that length we're talking about. Usually, we're talking about treatment over a long period of time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the second thing is that, especially when you're talking about the treatment of dissociative identity disorder, there's sometimes there is somewhat of an internal struggle against treatment.
That's right.
Because, you know, the other identity, the other, the alter, doesn't necessarily want to go away.
That's right.
And so there is this internal battle that happens sometimes to reintegrate the personalities into a one.
That's right. And these are the trauma can be long-standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we are dealing with an adult who had childhood trauma,
right,
that's a trauma that is deeply rooted in their psyche, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time. These are, you know, you just get over it, you know.
Right.
Let's think about something different, or let's replace these thoughts. Thoughts that have been in your head for 20 or 30 or 40 years, it's not easy to dispel those. We understand that, that this is gonna be, but you also need to understand this is probably going to be a lengthy battle,
right,
to root out these things that have been in your brain that long.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the brain gets good at what it does repeatedly.
Right.
And if you've been thinking about this recurring thought, even if it doesn't have to be a consistent, but even recurring thought for 20 or 30 or 40 years, it's not going to go away easily. It's going to take some work.
Right.
Okay. So you use these techniques, but don't expect quick results.
Right. Mm-hmm. So one of the main treatments for for the associated disorders is going to be psychotherapy.
Right.
And now psychotherapy, of course, is a broad umbrella. Right. And under psychotherapy are a lot of different forms right. and techniques and strategies. And so within those, we have things like cognitive behavioral therapy right. and, mm-hmm. and dialectical behavioral therapy and some of those kinds of cognitive-based and also behaviorally influenced treatment approaches.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea here is to look at that relationship between the way that you're feeling and the way you're thinking and the way right. you're behaving in a way to change some of those underlying emotions and right. Perspectives.
Right, you're right. We should really say we want to use one of the psychotherapies. You know, mm-hmm. psychotherapy is talk therapy.
Right.
Okay, and talk therapy is probably the primary intervention for mm-hmm. dissociative disorders because you have to get in there and unwrap all this stuff. And so it takes some talking through it. But then you have to know which of the psychotherapies you want to use,
right.
you know, which approach is most appropriate for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so the clinician needs to have several arrows in the quiver. You know,
right.
you might want to use an approach that Adler developed or Glasser or Freud, or, you know, you don't know until you know the person
right.
of which of those psychotherapies is going to be the most useful for this particular person.
Right.
Right. But probably you're going to begin and spend some time doing these talk therapies.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so because dissociative disorders are so often rooted in trauma,
right.
some of the therapies that focus on trauma are really recommended, like, again, dialectical behavioral therapy,
right.
The eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR,
right.
is also often recommended mm-hmm. For the treatment of dissociative disorders.
Right.
And there are clinics around the country that, residential clinics, where patients with dissociative identity disorder and dissociative right. disorders in general can go and stay for a period of time.
Right.
And this is, again, when the disorder is such that the person is unable to control, you know, any of the switching, and it's really causing significant interference with their daily functioning and everything, and they just need a stable place to stay, they can go to some of these residential facilities. But while they're doing these kinds of treatments.
That's right. And the other thing about an intensive program like that, when you're doing things on an outpatient basis, you're in the session for maybe an hour,
mm-hmm.
and then you do a little bit of homework. But then you have these long periods where it's elastic. And
mm-hmm.
so, yes, you focus on the trauma, and you start to deal with it, but then you go back to your life for 5 or 6 days, and you sort of drift back to baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're in a residential facility and you're getting intensive inpatient treatment, you're working with it every day,
right.
and it helps to understand it better and to root it out.
You're Absolutely.
able to extract all of the stuff that's
right.
that you've been harboring
right.
all these years.
Right. Mm-hmm. And DBT, the dialectical behavioral therapy, and EMDR have both been shown to be pretty good
mm-hmm.
at treating trauma-based issues. So
right. That's right. DBT was initially developed for people with borderline personality
right.
disorder. It's a lengthy process.
Right.
It takes a long time. And you can have scores of visits, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 visits
mm-hmm.
or more. So it takes a long time, but it's been shown to be effective, especially with issues about trauma
right.
and loss.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, another key component to treatment is family therapy.
Right.
Because
right.
the family has to understand and has to be able to appreciate what is happening with the patient so
right.
that they can identify potential triggers for,
mm-hmm.
for any switching or, you know, anything that could help help the patient return some of those memories, you know, if it's a dissociative amnesia,
right.
to explore what they're missing from those areas of their life.
Right. And this next one, creative. So we have talk therapies,
mm-hmm.
cognitive behavioral therapy, which we use for many disorders. It's
mm-hmm.
changing your thinking. Dialectical behavioral therapy, which we just talked about, and EMDR,
mm-hmm.
which is effective for many people. It's not
right.
effective with everybody.
Sure.
Other people have tried it and said it didn't really work for me. Other people find it too traumatizing
yeah.
to do that because
right.
you're actually asking the person to dredge up those feelings. And if you do that too quickly or too abruptly, it can re-traumatize the person. Yeah. So it takes a skilled clinician, somebody who's experienced with EMDR, to deal with it. And then you get into a group of four other sorts of treatments. The first being creative therapies, art therapy, music therapy. Mm-hmm. I have to look this up. There was a program about a year ago on one of those early Saturday morning National Public Radio programs about writing with your opposite hand.
Right.
And when you do, stuff comes out because you are stimulating parts of the brain that you normally don't use and where these things are stored. And so they use these sort of creative, not only creative in the terms of you're creating art, but they're creative ways of accessing this trauma that you had before. So and creative therapies like art therapy, music therapy, play therapy for children would be a way. I think play therapy for children is probably the best example.
Right.
Is that while they're playing, the story may emerge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Also, we know because of the relationship between these disorders and trauma, stress is very is a key element to all this. When a person often switches, you know, when we're talking about dissociative identity disorder, the person often may switch to an alter during times of heightened stress, and so a key element to treatment are stress management things like meditation and relaxation techniques to help pull that stress down to decrease the likelihood of any switching from happening.
Right. Yeah. I think meditation and relaxation would be useful for two reasons. One is it's good for you generally.
Right.
I mean, most people probably should do more meditation and relaxation. It's something that we typically ignore. We don't spend enough time doing. But the other thing is, in a meditative state, it might allow you to, once again, it might allow these difficult to deal with thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. It may give them an opportunity to emerge in that more relaxed state. You know, flashes of, you have insight. You know, you get an insight that you don't have if you're worried about bills and what you're eating and running all the other things that we do. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's
which good. Does take us to the next one, which is clinical hypnosis. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never used hypnosis, and I don't think I've ever worked with anyone who uses hypnosis clinically. However, hypnosis often does much of the same thing that meditation does, and that is to kind of relax you and put you in this altered state where you're thinking about things a little bit differently, much more relaxed and all. And when you're doing clinical hypnosis, it's sort of like putting a person in a meditative state.
Right.
While you're communicating with them and asking them, and so you have this engagement, this interaction where they're answering questions and some of that stuff while they're in this altered, somewhat meditative type state.
Yeah.
And so you're able to explore things while the person is very calm, very relaxed, and so you can explore the effects of some of this trauma and help work to manage some of that stuff while the patient's in a state that they're, you know, it's not going to be as traumatizing, hopefully.
We talked about clinic hypnosis a week or so ago in some other context, and both of us expressed some skepticism.
Yeah.
Would that be the right word?
Yeah.
Skepticism. I don't really understand what hypnosis is. I'm not sure that anybody really knows exactly what it is.
Right.
There are a couple of things about hypnosis that are important here. One is that hypnosis may just be a relaxation of the brain's inhibitory system, so you're less likely to inhibit. And you're more susceptible to suggestion.
Right.
Okay. You might do things in this altered state that you wouldn't do normally.
Right.
We could say the same thing about alcohol or drugs, any kind of substances, where you'll do things because you're in an altered state of consciousness. Okay. So it's probably some suggestibility. You're more susceptible to suggestions. Mm-hmm. You know that. This is really what you're experiencing.
Exactly.
The other thing is, if the person hypnotizing is also a skilled clinician, you don't want some circus performer. You don't want some nightclub performer hypnotizing you,
right?
Talking about, and they don't know what to do
Yeah.
With the information that you're getting.
Exactly.
So if you're going to, if you're thinking about being hypnotized, okay, but make sure the person has the clinical skills to deal with whatever arises during and after the session.
Yeah,
don't let some nightclub performer hypnotize you, because they're not going to know what to do when you start talking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, the last piece that we always have to talk about is medication. And it's important to note that there is no medication for dissociative disorders. Mm-hmm. There are no medications that help to treat that specifically.
Right.
Now, if a person is also experiencing depression or anxiety or
panic attacks, any of those kind of things,
there are medications to treat those symptoms, but there's not really any medication specific to dissociative disorders.
And we underline symptoms.
Right.
Medication is going to bring symptomatic relief.
Right.
And we say the same thing about oppositional defiant disorder or conduct disorder. There are no medications for these, but if a child is also depressed or has ADHD or has anxiety, has something else, you can treat those symptoms.
Right.
But there's no treatment.
Right.
For dissociative disorders. There's no medication. It's a little bit like the personality disorders. We don't have medications for those either for the same reason.
Right. So our primary treatments are going to be those psychotherapy, talk therapy-based treatments like dialectical behavioral, EMDR, cognitive behavioral, a lot of family therapy, and then those creative therapies are really important.
I like mindfulness, relaxation, mindfulness, meditation, and the creative therapies. Mm-hmm. I think that dabbling a little bit in that might also relax, number one, but it relieves, you know, and it allows stuff to emerge that you wouldn't access otherwise.
Absolutely.
And that's probably worth considering. If you're really dealing with this, probably worth considering. But again, whatever therapy you choose, it takes a skilled clinician.
Right.
But don't fiddle with amateurs when it comes to dissociative disorder. If you think you really have dissociative disorder, have a thorough diagnosis by a knowledgeable clinician or clinicians, get another opinion. But make sure that whoever's doing the interventions has done this before. Don't let anybody experiment on you.
Right.
Okay. These are serious issues, and they're not to be. It's not a trifle. So.
Absolutely.
Get some good experience.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yes.
That's it then for today.
Happy Saturday. Is it Saturday today?
It is Saturday.
I lost track of the days.
We're even recording this on Saturday.
Right.
So.
Okay.
All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.